Hello and welcome to State of Crime. One state, two murders, a whole lot of crime, especially this week because we are going back to California with Kaylin's case.
Yes.
Yes.
So I had a couple of options for California, which is we did kind of shortly discuss maybe trying to do a couple of weeks in California, just because there are so many options. And I actually went with a case that was not one of my original options.
Uh-huh.
And we talked about at the end of last episode that when I first found out about this case, it was something I cried. Mm-hmm. Which is very unusual because normally I'm very good at keeping my emotions kind of on the back burner when it comes to looking, when it comes to researching these cases. But this one was just so sad.
Mm.
But it's also very strange and it kind of ties in where we don't really know a whole lot about your perpetrator.
Okay.
We're going to loosely. I use that word loosely. But the public doesn't know our perpetrator here.
Right.
Which is strange to me. And this is something that I've never come across before.
Okay.
So we are going to 1982.
Alrighty.
In Paradise Pines, California.
Okay.
Now, this town no longer exists.
Okay.
This was one of the towns in the last, I believe it was last year, maybe a year before last,
okay,
where there was a huge chunk of California that burned.
Okay.
Straight burned to the ground. This is one of those towns.
Oh, okay. So this is, what was Paradise? Was it
Paradise Pines?
Yeah.
So this town just no longer exists.
So this is in the same, I think, area of mine as well, because you're up in north central kind of California there.
Right. So on December 1st, 1992, 6-year-old Daniel Hohenstein, he disappears.
Okay.
And so he was playing outside when his mom had gone outside to find him because she had made dinner.
Mm-hmm.
To bring him in. She couldn't find him.
Okay.
And the last time he had disappeared in a matter of about 20 minutes.
Okay.
Now, we'll get into that a little bit in a little while. Now, what we do know about him is that he did have two siblings, a brother and a sister.
Okay.
I believe they are older than him. We don't really get a whole lot of information about the siblings.
Okay.
Like at all. We do know that this poor little 6-year-old Danny Hohenstein was the child to a very alcoholic mother.
Yeah.
He was very neglected. His teeth were rotting. He was malnourished. He ended up eating ice cream for dinner a lot of the time. He didn't really have the greatest childhood, clearly. He ended up with scabies. And his mom had to actually go through and do like a deep clean of the house to make sure it didn't continue to spread. But it was said that the scabies was caused with the shitty place that he was in. You know what I mean? He was didn't have a good hygiene because his mom was an alcoholic and didn't care about anything but the alcohol. And so he disappears. And the case quickly goes cold.
Okay.
Now, where they're at, the sheriff's department in this town, they have apparently at the time they had a very, very, very good search and rescue team. Search and rescue goes out. They find nothing. No clothes, no shoes, no sign of him. It was just like he poof disappeared. And so they ended up closing the case and just calling it a closed cold case. Well, that about a year later is when we meet FBI agent Jeffrey Reinick.
Okay.
And he was tasked with a missing child's case, and he ended up helping solve it very quickly. And apparently at the time, if you were good at something, they just kept giving you these cases. So since he found this, since he solved one of these child cases, they just kept throwing him missing children.
Okay.
And eventually they got a new director at the FBI, and this new director had decided that they were going to form kind of like a task group, which was the FBI's Crimes Against Children.
Okay.
And now Reinick was part of this task group. I don't know if they actually called it a task group, but that's what we're going to call it for lack of a better term. And he and another handful of people that were around the country were tasked with taking closed cases that had children involved, missing children or anything okay. like that. And they were supposed to look at some of them, see if they were able to help solve any of them. And so this happened to be one of the first ones that he comes across. And it was about a year after Danny had disappeared. And so FBI agent Reinick teams up with the local detective on the case. And now I said that this case went cold and it was closed very quickly. Mm-hmm. That, for once in most of our cases, was not due to shitty police work.
Okay.
That was just due to no evidence. They had nothing. Mm-hmm. And they eventually just kind of chalked it up to like, oh, he probably made his way into the canyon that was close to his house. He fell, he got hurt, or he was attacked by an animal, elements, something, you know what I mean? And it was December. So that's what they chalked it up to mostly. And when Agent Reinick gets involved and he's looking through it, he realizes that this doesn't, like, that doesn't make any sense. Because we have no evidence to say that he was ever near that area or that he would have fallen in that area. Again, there was no clothes, no shoes, just no evidence anywhere of him. And so he starts, Reinick and the local detective, whose name I did not write down and now I feel bad about it, they team up and they reopen this case and they start digging into it. Now, the local detective, he had done his work, and he was really good at keeping paper trails.
Okay.
And that was something that Agent Reinick said was the biggest help that they could have had.
Right.
This detective taking as many notes as he did. And so they start digging around, and they're looking into it, and they find out that along with the alcoholic mother and the neglect and the malnourishment and all of these bad things, they also had heard from people in the neighborhood that Danny was usually seen hanging around outside unsupervised.
So this is just like a tragic case.
Yes.
Before, I mean, this is one of those where you're like, he was not well taken care of. It right. does make you feel like possibly there could have been some prevention, unlike some of our other cases.
Right. There was a neighbor that had told the detectives that on a cold, snowy morning, Danny was found on her front porch.
Okay.
Asking if he could come inside.
Oh, God.
And he was just in his PJs, no jacket, no shoes, none of that. And so she let him in, she fed him breakfast, and there were other similar stories coming around. There were times the kindergarten teacher, his kindergarten teacher had said that he fell asleep in class a lot and that there was just a lot of these things.
This was a neglected child. So let's start first of all that he should have been taken away from this environment.
Right.
And that's another thing in this country that we have to deal with is that we do not take care of our children.
Right.
There, I've said it.
And when we, again, with the neglect, there's a point in time where Danny's mom, and I'm going to put this word in air quotes because of the way it's going to sound. Danny's mom had misplaced him. She had left him with a friend, went out on a bender, and didn't remember where she who she'd left him with. 3 days she couldn't find him because she didn't remember what friend she left him with. 3 days.
I'm going to blow. Because, again, this bullshit that we have in this country, too. And I understand this is a fine line and it gets very, very difficult because there are also stories where parents have lost custody of children and it has also been bullshit. But I will say that far and away, the number of children who are made to suffer in the care of piece of shit parents, or maybe they're drug addicted. Maybe I'm being too harsh. I do understand addiction is a disease, blah, blah, blah.
Okay, I would like to argue.
Well, you and I will disagree on that, but so
the only reason I say addiction is not a disease, I don't give a fuck what any doctor says. These people, the addicts, And I've known a lot in my life, you know what I mean? But the addicts, it's not like fucking cancer. Cancer happens to you. You don't do something.
That's a mental illness.
No, fuck that. They decided to do the drugs. They made the choice knowing the possibility and the likelihood of getting addicted to it. You're not, I couldn't be like, oh, I shot at fucking heroin.
Addiction.
And now I'm addicted to it. Oh, but it's a thing. I didn't do it. You know what I mean? Like, fuck that.
Addiction is much more about a mental and emotional response to chemicals than it is physical and physiological.
But to me, it's bullshit because okay. They decide to do the drugs. They know the likelihood of being addicted to it, especially in this day.
But again, most people who go to drugs and alcohol and things like that are doing so to numb some sort of emotional and mental pain. Like I said, it's very tangled for me. And I understand that people feel like you do, you know, and I respect that. But I really do believe, I think like Johann Hari, look him up. It's Johann. And I think it's just Hari.
Okay.
He has some books and he has a lot of videos that are out on YouTube and all over. He really talks about addiction in some of the best ways that I've ever seen. So I'll just throw that out there and then.
I don't know. I just have a heart.
I get
it.
I get feeling like you do. I do. So.
Because especially nowadays, everybody knows that meth is not good for you. You know heroin's not good for you. You know opioids aren't good for you. You know the likelihood and the very high possibility that you are going to be addicted to these things. Why do it? Why?
But the same is true, Kaylin, of cigarettes and alcohol.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
No, and for sure.
So, I don't know.
I get it.
Yeah.
I know. That's okay. Anyway, back to business. So.
We're so good at being, like, what do I want to say? We're so good at being, like, respectful of each other's opinions.
Right.
I'm proud of us. Except when you told me to fuck off one day, but we won't go back to that.
That's only because you were being contradicting.
Oh, I love it. Okay.
So she left him with a friend for 3 days, didn't know where
he
was.
Which is ridiculous.
And she never called the cops. But on December 1st, when he goes missing, he is missing for about 50 minutes, and she calls the police.
Okay.
Only because she was supposed to be taking Danny to his dad's house that evening so that she could have the night to herself to go out and get drunk. But she couldn't go out and get drunk if she couldn't find Danny to take to his father's.
Okay.
It's the only reason she called the cops. So he was missing for about 20 minutes. So what we do know from that day is that there was a construction site nearby his house where they were building a house. And he spent a lot of that day watching them build this house.
Yeah, little kids are fascinated, right. You know, with equipment and all of that. So.
Right, and he was seen with a dog, who I believe they said was a Cocker Spaniel. Doesn't really matter. But he was out in the neighborhood with this dog, who they ended up describing this dog as kind of like Danny's best friend. Mm-hmm. So they were each other's best friends. So this
dog. Well, yeah, because he had shitty, shitty home life and no one to take care of him.
And this dog's owner had gone to jail.
Okay.
So the dog didn't have anybody. Daniel didn't really have anybody.
You're killing me.
They just kind of had each other. And so they hung around the construction site watching the house being built. And when the construction guys started, like, packing their stuff up, they were about to go home for the day. The lead at the construction site told Danny, like, you need to go get a jacket on because, like, it's cold. Like, go home, get a jacket. So he did. He went home, and that was the last time his mother saw him. She remembers him coming in the house, grabbing his jacket, and she had just started making a pot of mac and cheese for his dinner, which is where we got our 20-minute timeline.
Okay.
She had just started the pot of water to make the mac and cheese. And so it took about 20 minutes to cook. When it was done, she went outside to get him. And couldn't find him. She searched around for about 30 minutes, called the cops. So okay. We have about a 50-minute timeline of him disappearing. And his mom was said to be, once he did disappear and she did call the cops, even the FBI agent who would later meet with his mother did say that she was as helpful as she could have possibly been. And while he was not missing, she didn't really seem to care about him or his life. She didn't.
And I'm going to say, you know, she can be an addict and she can do these awful things like forgetting where she put him for 3 days and still love him. Do you know what I mean? I mean, that's the tragedy of addiction there. Right. So.
And so she really tried to do everything that she could. And his siblings also eventually, once they were old enough, they were also involved. Granted, this only went on the whole investigation from the day he disappeared until the end is about 5 years. If you want to take out a year because of the time that it was closed before the FBI agent Reinick came in. Okay. So about 4 or 5 years. And one of the things that Agent Reinick talks about is the polygraphing of parents, of missing children specifically. Now, he talked about how much he hates
doing that.
Polygraphing parents. Because the way that polygraphs are set up, parents with missing children will fail almost every single time. Well,
yeah, because they're in so much emotional distress and panic.
And they normally blame themselves.
And that's all that a polygraph can measure. It doesn't, that's what people don't understand. It has no way of actually knowing if you're lying or telling the truth. Right. It's just measuring your heart rate, your perspiration.
Right.
You know, your breath rate, that sort of stuff. And many people, when they're being deceitful, those things vary because it causes internal stress.
Which is why I've always...
But a sociopath will pass a polygraph with no problem.
Right. And that's one of the reasons I've always said I would fail any polygraph about anything. My anxiety is too high.
Exactly. And as soon as I feel like I'm in trouble, I'm freaking out.
Right. Even if you didn't do anything wrong.
Exactly.
It's like having a cop behind you and you're like, fuck. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he did talk about that. And he talked about in his entire career as an FBI agent, he remembers meeting one parent that passed a polygraph test.
Wow.
From a missing kid.
And they probably did it.
No, but okay. He didn't care. It ended up being that he just didn't really care that his kid was missing.
Okay.
And so he had no emotional tie to it, so he was able to pass it. But every other parent that he remembers coming across has never passed a polygraph. And it makes sense. And I don't think that should be something that police should rely on to figure out if somebody is guilty. Because he's right when he says that parents, whether or not they did something, they will feel responsible for their child being missing. They will.
Mm-hmm.
So that was something big that they had talked about. Now, there was a bunch of leads. They did follow. They did some searching. They did a lot of interviewing. They did a couple of polygraph tests. They polygraphed a man that was friends with Daniel's mother, who I believe was a registered sex offender or who had some sort of criminal past that would have given them the idea that maybe he could have been involved.
Right.
So they did a very, very intense polygraph test and very intense interviewing. And they were extremely discouraged when none of it panned out and they had realized that this man is not involved. Another lead... This just seems like a really shitty place to live.
Shitty
people.
I'm going to go back to our Jennings case, just because I've been following the Facebook group and I've been working on our, you know, follow up, and it's taking me more time than I'd like, but school's just crazy right now. But, you know, I think that's the problem with a community like Jennings. You have, you know, a lot of poverty. You have very poor people who don't trust the police because so often either when any contact they have with the police leads to them getting in trouble or bad things, or you can't always trust the cops.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying? Right. And so, I mean, that's the reality of so many, and Jennings is not alone. I mean, any small community
with a lot of poverty is going to have these dynamics to
right.
it. And this is sounds like just another one.
So another lead came from a boy, a young boy in town. We don't have any information on this boy. But he thought that maybe his dad may have had something to do with it.
His own dad?
His own dad.
Oh my God.
This little boy would sit awake for as long as possible in his hallway at night to try to keep his dad from going into his little sister's room.
Ugh.
And so when all of this was going about, this little boy was like, my dad could have done it because I know he does this bad stuff to my sister. But this little boy was brave enough to sit in his hallway as long as possible at night awake to make sure his dad wouldn't go in there.
I'm crying.
Like
inside.
I said, a little.
Yeah, this is a horrible, horrible case.
Right. Well, as time went on, the detectives would talk to the siblings, and Danny's sister ends up telling the detectives about a boy in the neighborhood that sometimes would hang out with Danny. Now, this is where things get weird because we have no name for this boy.
Boy. Do we know how old he was, apparently?
He was a few years older. We're not exactly sure how
many.
And
how old was Danny again?
Six.
Okay.
So she tells about this boy who lived in town. She gave some information on him. And when they go to do some digging, they find him in some, again, we don't have much information. They find him in a state institution, some sort of psychiatry institution.
Okay.
We, again, don't have a name, which is very frustrating.
Well, probably if he's a minor, that's why.
Right. So they find, they do locate him and they go to talk to him. And when they do talk to him, they make sure that they have his doctor present so that there's no like things.
Right.
That, you know what I mean? So
they're doing everything following the letter of the law, dotting their I's,
correct.
Crossing their T's.
Correct. And they go talk to this boy. Mind you, I said that Danny ended up with scabies at one point. So with the scabies, they had to shave his head. And so they show a picture of Daniel with some other people, I believe. And he's like, oh yeah, that's Danny. That's what he looks like now. Now, this boy being in this institution, they then, after meeting him and talking to his doctor, they also very quickly learn how low this boy's IQ is.
Okay.
He,
well, if he was, you know, in a bad enough state to be institutionalized, you know it's bad.
Right. And they start talking, and the boy starts telling a story about there was a time when he would go hang out with Danny. He went to Danny's house. They played Nintendo. And that was one thing that was said, especially by Danny's siblings, was that Danny didn't have a lot of things. Clearly, we've talked about his home life. But he did have one prized possession, and that was his Nintendo. And so there was a point where he tells a story about him and Danny playing Nintendo, and then playing, and then being out at a park somewhere. And eventually it comes that this boy, we can give him a name, I guess.
Okay.
I don't really, do you want to
throw out? Let's call him Johnny.
Okay, as, Johnny.
Yeah.
So Johnny starts telling a story about how he hurt Danny in a bathroom.
Oh.
And that's kind of it for a while. And they go back to Danny's mom and was like, hey, do you know this kid? Like, has he ever been in the house? Anything like that? And she's like, well, like, I know who he is, but he's never been in the house.
But she's not the most reliable either because she's gone a lot or she's incapacitated.
Right.
So.
Right.
He and could that was, have been.
That was one thing that they ended up telling her. They were like, he knows the layout of the inside of your house. Like, he's
right.
been here before.
Right.
And it seemed, you could tell where his mental capacity was due to his lack of knowing how much time has passed.
Mm-hmm.
Because he, when he saw the picture of Danny, he's like, oh, that's what he looks like now.
Mm-hmm.
And that was with his long hair. That was before his hair had even been shaved.
Okay.
And so they're doing, investigating on him, and they are able to go into his home, talk to his mom, do some looking around in the house. And it was kind of hard the way it was described on whether or not it was inside the home or outside the home or like in a shed or a garage. But there was said to be a shrine almost of what it would be for a little boy.
Okay.
And what they found was a set of car keys in just like a little bowl.
Okay.
And they were able to take the keys, get the car, and do testing. And originally they didn't really find much.
Whose car? Like,
we'll get there.
Okay.
But, oh, this was at Johnny's home.
Home. So the keys in the bowl were to his mom's car?
I would assume it was okay. Somebody, yeah. They, again,
it's, somebody in the home. They right. weren't like keys he had stolen. That's what I was trying to get to.
No, they okay. were not. And so they do some testing. They look around in the car. They take, and granted, this is in, I believe, 90. So he disappeared in 92, and I believe they found everything ended in 97. So
okay.
they end up doing some testing. And at this point, one of the main DNA tests that they have is the mitochondrial DNA. Mm-hmm. And with mitochondrial DNA, all they can get from it is if it is an offspring of a certain woman.
Right.
It is because, specifically the mom's gene.
Right. And for a long time, they said that all of your mitochondrial DNA only came from the mother.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, I swear, I read an article and they said you can get some from your father. But I'm not clear on that. But we do some more research because I think there's some breaking news in that field. So,
well, so they find a hair in the vehicle, but they don't have anything to test it against because they right. don't have a body.
Uh huh.
They still have not found Danny's body.
Mm.
Well, they end up a couple of hikers.
Oh no!
Find the skull of a little boy.
Crap.
Now, they don't really have any medical stuff for this child because he was so neglected.
Uh-huh.
And another thing, I mentioned his rotting teeth, which means there's no dental records to be able to, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So they end up getting the remains, and at this point, they can't say whether or not, that's cool. She just showed me an article about being able to, the mitochondrial DNA also being able to be found in fathers.
Yeah, well. And that's very new. So.
Right. So at this time, it was specifically right. just mothers.
Yes.
Well, so they were able to take the hair they found, take the part of the, I believe it was one of the leg bones, and take DNA from Danny's mother and be able to match everything. And the only thing that they were really able to get is that this DNA would be from an offspring of Danny's mother. And since they clearly know that the two other children are alive and well,
right.
This is obvious.
Unless she has some secret one that she murdered and threw in the mountains and doesn't remember because she was drunk all the time.
Right.
But
so
no, yeah.
They are able to come to the conclusion this is Danny. So they finally have Danny's body, which is fantastic. Thank God.
Mm-hmm.
And they also now know who's responsible for it.
Johnny.
But what else they find out is that he was not alone. He may have been the only person to hurt Danny and to kill Danny, but he was not the one that got rid of his body.
His parents helped?
His mother.
Oh my God.
Now, the fucking bonkers part is, so again, we've talked about how Johnny had a very low mental
right,
capacity.
Right, right.
Very, very low. It had been rumored around town that there was some sort of incestuous sexual relationship between Johnny and his mother.
Oh.
So, like, fuck this mother. So not literally, that's not.
Yeah.
But, like,
another woman who should not have had her children.
Correct. So, when they talked to Johnny, Johnny didn't know that he killed Danny. He fully thought that Danny was sleeping. And when he and his mother took him out and left him wherever they left him,
he thought they were just leaving him and he'd be found or like, well, I'm sure she lied to him.
Yeah. And so he thought that Danny was sleeping.
So I hope they nailed this bitch to the wall.
So I said, we don't know him.
Right.
We also don't have a name for her because, so they will not release his name.
Which I understand. He's a minor. He's institutionalized. There's all of these.
He cannot. He won't be prosecuted because his mental capacity is so low.
And he's already locked up.
Right. So that's the thing, is the prosecution decided that they couldn't charge him or they couldn't prosecute him. He wouldn't have been able to stand trial. There's no way they would have
found him. But you can still make sure this is part of his records so that where he's being held, they keep that as a part of his case. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he's not let out.
The prosecution is holding on to this case, and they are holding on to everything that they have on it. So by any crazy thing, if he gets let out again, they will prosecute in a heartbeat. But until then, why? He's already in a state institution. There's no sense. I mean, the family, Danny's family knows what happened. They now have their closure that they want.
And he's not a danger to society because he's locked up.
Correct.
What about this bitch? I want her nailed to a wall. And I don't care if you can't release his name. She probably doesn't even have the same last name as her kid. She needs to be prosecuted.
She won't be.
I hate you.
Because statute of limitations for accessory was over. They had done past the statute of limitations.
I'm so done with statute of limitations. Another rant of mine.
Mm-hmm. So we don't know who she is either.
What a bunch of bullshit.
Now, this one big thing I want to get out of this case is this FBI agent. I think not only the sadness of how poorly Danny was treated during his life.
Whole life. Well, and again, like I said, that's a failure of our society. Mm-hmm. The fact that we do not take care of children in this country.
Right.
We don't educate them properly. We don't make sure that they're fed. We don't make sure that they're healthy. We don't make sure that they're not in the hands of monsters. Over and over and over again, we fail.
Right.
And I see this on the daily. So.
So I want to give the biggest praise to this FBI agent.
Yes.
Not only for helping solve this case, but the way that he has gone about the victims of other cases that he has solved. And a lot of these victims are alive and that he was able to help before they ended up being killed.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote a book. And
this is
the book that I asked my parents for Christmas. It is called In the Name of the Children, an FBI, sorry, I can't read it, it was too small. the picture I was looking at was far too small. In the Name of the Children, an FBI agent's relentless pursuit of America's worst predators. Now, I had listened to him talk about this book that he wrote.
What's his name, honey?
Jeffrey Reinick.
Okay.
And I'll post a picture of the book on our Instagram page. I will actually make a point to do that. So this book originally wasn't supposed to be a book. It was something that his wife had asked him to write, kind of like an autobiography of, you know what I mean?
Right. For the family, maybe.
For his family.
Yeah.
So that his kids would have something of his when they got older and his grandchildren could read this, how he lived his life and what he did as an FBI agent. And by time he was done and they read it, his wife basically was like, you need to publish this. This needs to be something that other people read.
Right.
So every chapter in this book is named after one of the victims, his victims.
And I love him.
His final chapter is titled, the name of it is his wife's name and his two children's name, because of the things that he had also gone through. And he talks about suicidal moments in his life. He talks about his victims that he's helped. And this man, his taken his oath to help people to a whole new level. So he talks about how he has kept in touch with victims. He's gone to weddings and baby showers and all of the graduations. And one of the victims that he had helped at one point had asked him, so are we just another case number to you?
Aww.
And he was like, absolutely not. Mm-hmm. And any of the victims that want to be in touch with him, he is kept in touch with. And he, his, you know what I mean? And it's fucking insane. Because you do think...
Also, by the way, I was looking him up while you were talking about him here. He's also credited with obtaining the confessions from the serial killer behind the Yosemite murders.
Fucking badass dude is what he is.
Mm-hmm.
And he... Granted, when he was born, he had some... I don't know if deformities is the right word.
Uh-huh.
He had some issues where he later was able to get surgeries to fix it.
Okay.
And so that played a huge part in his life because for his first, I believe, 10 years or so of life, he was bullied.
Because of these things. Probably is what gave him some of his compassion. And
right. Yeah. And
he probably reads a lot of books.
And every victim that he did talk about in this book, they were all sent a copy of the book before it got published.
Aww.
Because he didn't want any of his victims to see these and be uncomfortable with it or didn't want,
right?
You know what I mean?
Yeah. If they didn't want their names out there or something like that, I'm sure, you know.
Right. And one of them, he talks about how she had called him after she read it and she was telling him how she read and reread and reread that chapter because the way that he talked about her was not the way that she felt. She still very much felt like a victim, and he portrayed her as this brave woman who was able to overcome
everything. As a survivor,
right.
A hero.
And she had told him that the whole time she just read it and reread it and sobbed and reread it, and she thanked him. But this man has done so much good. And I think that he needs to be recognized for
that. I think all of those people do because, you know, there's a lot of evidence that's... Can you imagine going home after dealing with some of the things that he dealt with? Do you know, I mean, just... I think about this, and this is true for a lot of the good law enforcement officers and first responders that we have out there. You know, the trauma of hearing some of the stories that they have to hear and seeing some of the things that they have to see. You know what I mean? And
right.
He did it over and over and over again with children.
Right.
Which I can't imagine.
No.
Yeah.
Well, and the way that he became an FBI agent was really cool. He went to law school and then...
Wow.
Straight up was like, I want to be in the FBI. Like, that's something that he had wanted for a lot of his life. So he went to law school and was trying to kind of find an in. And one of them was like, he could be a clerk for 3 or 5 years. And then he could become an FBI agent for working for the FBI as a clerk. And then they ended up like canceling that program and didn't grandfather anybody in.
Of course.
And so he had, like, alternate routes to be able to get to where he wanted to be. He was never a police officer before any of this. He went straight to the FBI. And he knew what he wanted to do, and he fucking did it. And he helped a lot of people.
That's awesome.
And so...
Hero.
For real. And I think that that is something he needs praise for that. Mm-hmm. Because when you think... for me, at least, when people talk about, like, famous. I use famous in air quotes because I don't like FBI agents and stuff to be compared to, like, celebrities.
No, right, right.
But when you think of, like, the famous FBI agent,
John Douglas,
and you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so, like, I think that his name is not known very well, and I think it should be.
Right.
And that was one of the main reasons I chose this case, is because he needs the praise.
Somebody get this man a Netflix series or something.
Seriously. Yeah. Okay, so speaking of Netflix series, because we are now going off the rails for a moment. It's brand new, like brand new. And I don't know if you have been on Netflix in the last couple of days.
I just watched Marriage Story, which is the new one by Noah Baumbach. And it has Adam Driver and Scarlett Johansson, and it was beautifully written. And I've always known that Adam Driver was my boyfriend, and now I know he's my husband. And yes, watch it.
There is a limited series that just started.
Called
The Confession Killer.
Ooh.
So Henry Lee Lucas.
Who was batshit crazy, by the way.
So this is a series about him. Because he confessed to hundreds of murders.
And led on wild goose chases. Like, because so many, he was one of those that was just lying. I mean, there's no doubt he killed people.
Right.
But he was one of these that's just crazy and lies through his teeth. There's no way he killed anywhere near the number he claimed.
And most of them that he confessed to, there was zero evidence that he had anything to do with it.
Yeah.
But I watched the trailer for it the other day, and it looks fantastic. Yeah. So I knew that was something that I needed to bring up because it's a docuseries.
Good. Right.
So it's not something that's like based on whatever.
It'll be factual.
Yes. And it looks fantastic and I would love to watch it.
That's way more better than watching children.
Yes.
Yeah. This is such a sad story.
It is so sad.
Like I said, there is not...
Oh, I didn't even tell one of the biggest... This was probably one of the moments that made me smile and cry at the same time.
Okay.
Now, with Daniel being so just... Not... neglected is the only way
abuse.
I can...
It's abuse. It's abuse.
There were little to no photographs of him. But there was one that Reinick found, and it was from the dentist office when they were trying to fix his poor rotting teeth. And he took this photograph, he took it to one of his buddies at the FBI, and he asked him, "Can you crop out any of the dentist office information? I just want his face. And I don't need any of the other information. Can you do what you can?" And he was going to get a big frame, get it blown up and framed for Danny's siblings.
Aww.
So Danny's mother did pass away either right before or right after they figured out what had happened. And so when the FBI had heard about what he was doing with this picture for the family, the FBI covered all the costs of it instead of making him pay for it himself, which he was planning on doing originally. But he got a big picture blown up for the siblings. And Danny and his mother are
buried together.
They're side by side in a mausoleum. Is that what they're called? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is that right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they're buried in the same mausoleum together.
If it's above ground, right? You mean like an above ground grave? Yes.
So they're, yeah.
Oh, and I was going to, that's funny because in my case that I forgot to tell you, my murderer and my victim are buried side by side. In Downeyville, California, which is so weird.
I hope she's torturing him for the rest of her soul.
Me too. So, oh, sad case.
I told you like it was going to be sad.
Just horrible. So, just like I said, I can't remember what it was. I was reading or watching something, you know, and I was just thinking, if we just focused on taking care of every single child, how many social ills would just disappear
off the page. I've seen a lot of posts, specifically the one where it talks about how our taxes go to pay for people in jail and their three meals a day, but kids can't
have hot lunch
at school. Right.
I know. It's such a bunch of crap.
It should be flipped the other way around.
Well, I have to tell you, and this is another thing. You know, these are things that have changed. This is the other thing. The bullshit we're doing right now is not the way it's always been. When I was growing up in grade school, when you ate hot lunch, I usually took cold lunch, but when you did eat hot lunch, you could go up and get seconds and thirds until the food was gone.
Right.
It was all homemade. It was made on site. Nobody
there was never a kid that went hungry, ever.
Right.
And this bullshit that we have now of denying children lunch, and I can't remember, I just recently saw a post, some state is going to try to take kids away from their parents if they don't pay their lunch debts, which, what a bunch of bullshit that is.
Right.
I mean, I'm all for, like I said, in situations like this where you've got flat out neglect. But there's a big difference between poverty.
Right.
And when you make it impossible for people to take care of their families and then penalize them, take away their kids, you know, I'm sorry. It's time for the torches and the pitchforks.
Right.
So, all right.
Yeah,
I'm done.
It was,
sorry.
Yeah. This was a sad case.
Yes,
it was. It was one of those that hit me hard.
Mm-hmm. Take care of children, people, and vote for people who take care of children. And realize you are creating our society. We have got to change stuff.
Right. But yeah, this poor little boy.
Yeah.
That was
a sad one.
It was a sad one.
All right, we got to stop. So
next week we're in Hawaii.
Yes.
Is that what we decided?
I'm kind of excited.
Okay, I'm going to have to tell you that I already have a case written down.
I hate you.
Because Hawaii's hard. Hard.
Is it hard? Okay.
Very.
I
remember
have
when
one
I
in
first
mind,
started looking into
and
it.
If you, I have one in mind, and if you stole it, I'm going to stab you.
I have had this.
So I'll be doing this by myself next week, talking about how I killed Caleb.
Yeah, so okay. Next week we are in Hawaii. We're almost done with our states for
our
first round.
Which is kind of cool.
We are almost done.
I honestly have to say I'm shocked that we've come this far.
Me too.
I really did. I thought, okay, we're going to do this for a few weeks, and then we're both going to get bored or tired or busy. And I'm kind of proud of us.
So am I.
I'm really proud of
us. I didn't expect us to go this long either.
I know. And I'm even prouder of our listeners because, honestly, that's what's made it easier for me to go. It's like when people are like, I like listening, and I learned something, or
right.
I thought about something, and like, you guys are awesome, and we appreciate you so much.
Right. I agree. We do.
Yeah.
So, we appreciate you so much, and we'd appreciate you more if you went onto your Apple Podcast and you rate and reviewed us. Look at that little segue.
That
we
was
did.
So good.
It does help us out a lot when you rate and review us.
Yes.
Also, check out our Instagram and our Twitter, which you may or may not want to do because
I suck, and
we
I
both
never,
suck.
I do.
I am going to for sure post the book.
Yes,
do on that. Our Instagram,
okay.
So that if
so
any of you are
anybody else who wants good Christmas present ideas,
I'll link it to the Amazon link so that if any of you do want to purchase it, I'm imagining I haven't read it, I don't know, but I'm going to imagine that it is a fantastic book.
Okay.
We
might have to edit that out. Sorry.
What are they going to do? Sue us for giving
Probably.
Them?
I don't know.
For giving them customers?
I don't know.
I mean, who knows?
Okay,
yeah,
anyway.
I'm going to leave it in. And if they tell us to take it down, we'll take it down.
Oh, my God. We're going to die. Jeff Bezos is going to sue us. Or
we're,
have us murdered.
We're sending him customers, so he should be fine with it.
All right. But anyway, and do make sure you like us on Facebook. Join our discussion page.
If you
There's
have.
A lot more in action on the discussion page than
Lately.
The Facebook page.
Yes.
And just know how much we appreciate you.
And if you have any suggestions, please, please, please tell us your suggestions.
Yeah, especially a Hawaiian case. Apparently. Send it to me, not Kaylin.
I guess I could ask my grandma. My grandma used to live in Hawaii.
Ooh, okay.
That may be a good one.
Yeah.
But we are the biggest procrastinators. So if you do have any suggestions or any case that you want us to cover,
yes.
Please let us know. You can email us at stateofcrimepodcast@gmail.com or just message our Facebook page and
yep.
We'll get them either way. But yeah, we really do appreciate suggestions more than anybody really
That's
understands
right.
because we are huge procrastinators.
That's right.
And I am the most indecisive person that I know, so.
Next to me.
So until next time.
Thanks for listening.